Welcome to the EDUCAUSE 2009 Annual Conference Podcast. The EDUCAUSE 2009 Annual Conference brought together the most influential IT decision makers and resources to improve the ability of higher education to achieve its mission. This podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International. You can find more podcasts like this by searching for EDUCAUSE on iTunes or visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts.
So I have three more minutes, but maybe I can start talking so I can get warmed up. All right. How many here are from schools? Hello. We're trying to keep on this side as much as we can. How many are from schools that are under 5,000 students? Ah, excellent, good. So hopefully you'll find these things applicable. I don't know how many are you familiar with Rice. It's a great school, of course. It really is. It is very special in that it has the college / dormitory atmosphere. So the dormitories at Rice are called colleges. And if you think about it, I just had two daughters that finished high school and went to college. And they were in the top of their class, and I saw all of their friends going through the process of choosing a school. And what they were doing, first they looked for major. That's what they're doing. They're not looking for their IT, how is the IT in the university? They're looking major, does it have my major? And once they've decided what schools are for them, then they start looking into the atmosphere of the school. And people who choose to come to Rice, they prefer to be in a small school where there's someone, where they feel a family atmosphere. And the school itself encourages that from day one. At this point, we have 11 dormitories, colleges. Next year, we're going to have two more. But when you come to Rice, you get assigned to a college, and you stay there for the entire time. It's very difficult to change college. It's almost never done. It's a shame. It's not done. You know, it's horrible. It's a horrible thing to happen to you to change college. And nobody even discusses it. It's not an option. And people feel that they belong first to the college and then to Rice. They make friendships, and they have those friendships go on after they graduate. So people see each other. It's like, you were Baker. You were, and they feel good when they see a Rice person. They feel even better if it was someone from their own college. So they have this atmosphere. So some of the things I'm going to be talking about play into this atmosphere. IT needs to add value to the business. The business of the school is the students, the undergraduate students. And we are lucky to have a management direction in IT. I have my boss here, Gary Kinney. I have to recognize him, who feels very strongly about the students, undergraduates and graduates. He has encouraged me to keep doing more and more stuff for the students. So I'm going to go ahead and officially declare the talk started now. Let's see if I can turn this on. Okay. Does it work? Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. So, having said all these preliminary things about Rice, I'm going to organize this talk around three stories. I'm going to tell you three stories. The first one is the experience of IT at Rice from the student's perspective, and that is any given student. The second story is going to be the experience with IT of those few students that actually work for IT, and they help us provide support to the rest of the population. And then the third story is going to be the behind the scenes, how do we do all these things that we do for the students. So I'm going to try and go through it fast, as fast as I can. Feel free to stop me for questions, but I'm going to try and leave, since I'm moderating my session, I'm going to try and leave as much time as we can afterwards to look at the tools and maybe go online and show you some things in more detail if you care to look at them. So during the talk, you're going to notice some slides have look for the giveaways. And what I mean by that is that if you go into the EDUCOS website, I have uploaded some goodies, some stuff for you to use if you wish. When I go around and meet other people from other schools, quite often we go into conversation and they said, oh, could you send me this? Could you send me that? So all the things that people have asked me in the past, they have asked me for, I put them up in the goodies for you, and you're free to use them. Okay, so I did not introduce myself. I am Nikki Serakiotou. I am a client services manager at RISE. My area of my focus of concentration is the help desk and undergraduate support and student support in general. If you're wondering, I want to leave no questions unanswered. I am Greek. So the name, the accent, many people cannot place it, and they're wondering, and we don't want any questions left. Also, that explains all the weirdness. You know, you can attribute it to my Greekness, and I'll be excused. All right, so let's start with a student story. The school starts around August 15. The students move in. It's a fun day. There's luggage and stuff going around, cars and parents all over the place. And IT is there for them. We are there through our student workers. You see one over here, and actually this is Jim, and you're going to see him in lots of pictures. I don't know how come he got in all those pictures. What we do during moving day, we have a presence in each college, and in each college is different. You know, some colleges want us to be in a kiosk area where people can go and meet and greet, and they just say hi to us, we are IT. Other people, you're going to see another picture later, they don't have time to even meet and greet, and they just wear their IT shirts and help people lug their luggage. But we do a PR outreach effort, and in the kiosks, we try to help people do the first basic things that they need to do when they come in. When you come to school, you can wait to figure out where the gym is. You can wait to figure out, you know, how to get to the library. But these days, you cannot wait to connect. You have to be connected on minute one. And you will notice in the picture here that the parent is there. And sometimes the parents that are coming in with their students are even more anxious to get them connected so they can email and whatever with their kids. So because we cannot reach each and every student, even with the kiosks, even with all the things we do, we actually produce this CD for them. And this is in the giveaways. The content of this CD is in the giveaways. And what it does is it tells them they can put it in the computer. Unfortunately, at this point in time, it doesn't do everything for them. Some students complain to me. It's like, I stuck it in and it didn't happen. They wanted everything to happen. It doesn't quite happen, but it has the CD has the directions and pointers of how this can happen. And it gives them the basic things, how to connect to the wireless, how to get to printers if you want to print your registration, and how to get help from IT, which you're probably going to need if you're bringing an infected computer with you. We have 1,000 freshmen, and we cut, this year we cut 2,000 CDs because all of the upperclassmen that are there present trying to help the people settle, they also want a fresh copy if they didn't have one, or, you know, and so we always end up using more. If you look through the CD, that's what its current version looks like. So you need to, you click on it, And depending on what platform you have, it shows you how to connect. We have a secure wireless. We want to catch every student when they come and make them aware that it is important to use a secure wireless as opposed to the insecure one. And not because our wireless has military-grade security, they could care less about that at that point in their life, but because this way they can go easier, it's easier for them to go to all the resources that are there for them, like storage and things like that. If they use the wide-open, unsecured wireless, they won't be able to do that, and we don't want them to get into the habit of using that. So the first item is how to connect. The second item is how to connect your game console or other devices to the wireless. That's very important to them. I mean, it's a generational thing. It is. Secure wireless network, and then how to get computer help. Here we tell them about the ways we're there to provide support, and I'll talk about this some more later. So that was moving day. Then comes all week, orientation week. The first week of school, the only people that are on campus are the freshmen. And the freshman schedule looks like this. This is the spreadsheet that the dean's office sends me every August. And each one of these colors is an activity. They split the students in groups of 10 to 15 people. Each group has an upperclassman as an advisor, and they herd them around all these activities. Now, the big challenge for IT is to actually find some time in there to start preaching about our services and about best practices and about all the things we want them to know. So we have been working with the advisors who organize, and all this thing is organized by the student body. We work with them during the previous summer, and we are interjecting ourselves in little slots here and there, wherever it's appropriate for each college, for each group. And what we do is we get our student workers to give them a little 10-minute presentation. And we also are there at this is the academic fair, they call it, where all the departments have a little kiosk and they come there. That's one of my colleagues behind. There's some students. And this is our logo, the yellow umbrella. This is a new thing we did this year. Wherever they can get help from us, we hang this upside down. And we call it the yellow umbrella. And our kiosks, our help kiosks, are called the yellow umbrella kiosks. So we're trying to logo-fy ourselves. Whoever didn't misplace their CD, they didn't find it, our student workers go and put one in each mailbox or on each desk, depending on the college. But people still replace it because this is freshmen coming in and have to deal with this crazy schedule, all this information coming through, IT and antivirus is not quite there in their minds, but it's going to be important because they have to get connected before this Thursday night, because Friday morning they have to go online and register for classes, so they need to have their computer running by that time. So one of the things we do is the students go around and give a very short presentation, and I have in the past recommended to them to use this very, very quiet format, because everything during O Week is crazy, it's colorful, and it's theme-oriented, and it's pirates, and we're trying to differ and make the IT presentation very, very quiet, and we need to get an attention, and we talk about how to do these four things. Then they register, their classes are ready, so their student life begins, and what IT offers them from there on is, of course, courseware, which you could argue whether it's more convenient for, whether it's a service to them or to the faculty, but it is a service to them as well. And of course, we offer them this amazing suite of software that's available for them in the labs, on each and every lab. And the labs are located both in generic places through the campus, and also each dormitory, each college, has its own lab with three or four PCs and two or three Mac computers and a printer in their lab. Okay, so let's see. The other things that we offer them, and they're not, they're not common, is we do give them 1 gig of storage, which is not great, but this is really good storage. Backed up, you know, our storage, the same one that we offer to faculty and staff. We give them directions in the city how to mount it on their own computer. We give them directions, we auto-mount it in the labs for them, and we try to get into their brains the fact that, okay, this is storage. If you have something really important, keep it there. All your pictures and the other stuff can stay in your computer, but this is something you don't stand to lose. They can also create their own website presence by adding content into their home computer. We have documentation for them how to do that. So www.allnet.rice.edu/Nikki or whatever the net ID is will serve their own website. And recently, we also give them space for collaborations. We give them wikis and blogs. The Student Activities Center gets for free 20 gigs of space, and then they met it out to the different clubs and organizations, student organizations, and they can create their own website presence, their own blogs, wikis, etc. And it's very easy. I can show you how to request your own wiki. And we give them a Subversion site for version coding. This is really interesting for the engineering students mostly. And then what happens if your computer dies? This is our campus, or a large part of this campus. This is the central quad. Our IT department is right there in this under this umbrella, and this is where the help desk is located. But the colleges, the dormitories, are clustered in the two areas of the campus. These are the north colleges, and down here, going further out, are the south colleges. So what we offer them is the help desk is open 9 to 5 weekdays, and then in their colleges, we run kiosks every night from Sunday to Thursday for 2 or 3 hours, depending on our budget. And what they, what services they get in the help desk are these, and the services in the kiosk are a subset of what we offer in the help desk. The big difference is in the help desk, they get disinfection and reload your operating system. So they can bring us their laptop, we can scan with everything we have, and if we can't clean it, we will back up their data and we will reload the computer. I'll talk some more when I talk about the student worker story. So the student workers are, we hire them for 2 months on probation. We have a formal interview. They submit resumes just for them to get the feeling that they have a professional, that this is a professional work. We pay them top money, the biggest rate of student pay on campus. And we also give them a test, which I will share with you, that doesn't it doesn't have any decision-making whether we're going to keep them or not, because we're still calibrating it. But we have found that it's actually a very good predictor of how good they're going to be technically. Then we basically throw them in the fire with shadow training. When they're sitting on the phone, they're sitting with someone more senior, and my staff members are also. I have, in the help desk, I have 4 staff members. One of them is the supervisor of the students, but they're all involved in mentoring, training, and supervising and evaluating the students. The other thing that we do for them is about every week or every other week, depending on the need, we have a lunch session in one of the colleges, and we do intense training during the session. So if we have a change that has happened in network or in anything that they need to know about, we go over it in detail during the lunch session. And then during O week, just before O week, the student workers come onto campus 2 days or 3 days before everyone else, and we use this time to go over all of the things they need to know, just a refresher. Some years we have more experienced students than others, but for the most part, we try to go over even the most trivial things like manners, etiquette, the script for phones, and things like that. Some of the PowerPoints that we use for the training are in the giveaways, and you can check them out. So here is what their life of the student worker is made up of. When they are in the help desk, we have two areas. This is the back area, and when they're there, they answer phones. The phones that they answer come from faculty, student, and staff. We are trying to get the permanent staff members to answer the phones first, but if they're all busy and they are, we have a remote assistant tool of late, and that may keep them busy for long amounts of time on the phone, then we have the students that pick up the phones. In general, we don't have, our drop call rate is almost non-existent. So while they're not on the phone, they have their little dashboards that they're using, and they have a view into our incident management system. And what they're doing is they're looking at the incidents that have been submitted online by faculty, staff, or students. They answer what they can, and they then escalate the incident to the appropriate team, either the help desk staff or our field engineers that are out in the field and in the academic departments. If they're not busy doing this and all the queue is empty, they maintain our documentation in the wiki. Our students are the bigger writers of documentation, and they kind of enjoy doing this, especially some of them, and they really like it when there is nothing in the wiki. They couldn't find something in the wiki about a problem they had or about something they needed to know, and they go in and write it. And occasionally, if we have to, you know, we make them test things or work on new tools. The area you saw was in the back of that. Oh, and I forgot. And here they have these boards to help them. These are the people the field engineers who are out are listed, so they know who to give the escalation tickets. These are useful numbers that they need to know, the registrar, the HR number, because remember, they get calls from all over the place. These are the known issues, things that are coming to the IT alerts. We actually have that online available to their dashboard now. And these numbers are the on-call people, the network on-call people, the Unix guru on-call people, because one of their duties is to chase down and escalate incidents into problems when we have something like that happening. This is the front area. The front area is dedicated to walk-ins, anybody that's associated with RISE, and we do have a Meritai and even retirees, and the occasional neighbor from coming in and asking for help. And we also do some account management requests over here, but the majority of the work here, this is the workbench back there, where we offer the service of diagnosing laptops and disinfecting them and reloading them. I have a little movie here.
Hi, this is the Mud Building, room 103 right here. That's the help desk where students come for help with their computers. If you've got any kind of problem with the computer, connected to the wireless internet and printing are probably the two most common things. Then they come on into the room, and one of the student workers on duty or one of the full-time staff members, such as MA, will ask you how we can help. If, for example, their computer's hard drive has crashed, then that's going to be something where we'll need to probably need to work on the computer and take it in. In that case, you'll bring your computer in, and we've got these forms here. We'll fill out, get contact information, liability release, attach that to your form, to your computer, sorry, and then unfortunately it goes in line, because we got like 3,000, 4,000 undergrads at Rice, but after that, in this case, and to continue the example of a crashed hard drive, the first thing we'll do in that case is try to recover some data from it. To that end, we've got two Windows XP recovery machines here with two Drobo data... I guess external hard drive enclosures, but they're really cool and they back up really well. They have a whole ton of capacity. So we'll pull the hard drives out. Do we have one out yet? We'll pull the hard drive out, connect it up to the computer, and see if we can recover anything off of it. Because a lot of the time, removing the hard drive from its host machine will solve a whole world of problems. And if we can recover any data, we'll back it up to the Drobos and give you a call when that's done. You can come. We'll burn it to CD or DVD for you if you need. You can put it on an external hard drive of your own, on a thumb drive. If you get a new computer, we'll copy it over to that as well. You know, whatever floats your boat.
What are the buckets for?
Your computer and all associated peripherals, like its power supply, etc., go in the bucket when they're not being worked on, so they don't get lost. Buckets live on the rack over there. They have a RT ticket number on it, so we can identify the parts inside. All the parts are also labeled with the ticket number, so we know what belongs to who. For shorter things, like if you just need to get connected to the wireless networks, most of the time you don't have to leave your computer here. We'll just help you with that on the spot. And that's just come in, sit down, we'll take a look at your computer, fix your problem, and send you on your way.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we can close this now. And go back to our never, eventually. Okay. All right. So that's the help desk. And finally, the kiosks. This is a picture actually from a moving day where we do, as you remember, basically a consulting service. We look at your computer. If it's really badly infected or something, we're going to send it. We diagnose it, and we're going to send it back to the help desk. But if you want printing help or something in your applications, we can help you at the kiosk. Okay, and finally, orientation week. We've already talked about how we do the 10 to 15 minute presentations, and or sometimes we just do PR. And the great thing about our student program is that we keep it really professional. We give lots of references and recommendation letters, and I'm really proud of two at least people who went into IT careers, both in Chevron, and I thought I should brag about them. We also, regarding the students, we try to hire them as early as we can, from freshman or sophomore years, and we try to have diverse personalities and backgrounds. We make a point to have Spanish speakers and girls if we can find them. Now, how do we do it? Money. We spend, per Gary's information, $125,000 for the hardware and that goes into the labs. $136,000 for the software. Sakai costs us $35,000. The printers work on a cost recovery. We actually put fees in the student with the student tuition that recovers the cost. Our incident management is a freeware. The shift management that we use, and I will show you exactly how we can go online and do that, is very cheap. And marketing things like buying the yellow umbrellas or having posters and things like that usually cost us about $2,000 per year. And the equipment that goes into our help desk to do the repair of student computers is around $1,200 per year. Regarding human resources, we pay $135,000 per year for the salaries of the student workers, and $5,000 of that have to do with all week, how they move early, and we have to house them and feed them. IT pays for that. Then, of course, the help desk staff is not there only for the student support, but they do play a great role. And the system administrators that run the Unix labs, I put their cost in there too. And I think we've talked about most of how we do the hiring and the training, evaluations, compensation. I said we pay them at $12 an hour, and we also do a very detailed evaluation at the end of each semester. And for the top performers, we give them bonuses. To do the evaluation, we use a spreadsheet. I have removed from the first column has the student names, and then we, every one of us, all the help desk staff, including the supervisor and myself, we rank each student from 1 to 3, where you know meets expectations, exceeds expectations, or needs improvement in different areas. Their technical skills, how they're doing on Macs, PCs, Unix, printing, and then all these soft people skills, professionalism, enthusiasm, politeness, attendance, and then we get the, we also get a little bit, this is not decisive, but we see how many tickets they have resolved, how many tickets they were involved in the working of them, and then we get the final ranking. And the pink ones are the best performers. And we try to recognize them not only with money. Usually we give them Amazon gift cards because we can't give really money bonuses. But we're also trying to make them visible within the rest of IT. So we award these bonuses and these recognitions in our IT town hall meeting or something like that so that they can feel truly a professional part of IT. For managing their shifts, we have this amazing thing, and I have advertised it here at Educo so much that they should give it for free to me next year. This is whentohelp.com. I can take you there later. It is a great tool that lets us give priority to students, like who can get the most desirable shifts. The senior and better performers can do that. But also lets us create a template for each semester. But then as things go crazy, as you know, with student workers, they can go and unassign themselves from a shift. The shift frees up so someone else can take it. This way, we stay staffed at the help desk. They have a certain deadline where they can do that. They can do that up until the day, the night before. And if they don't show up, that shows that is taken into consideration in their evaluation. It also has great views of how many hours they worked every week. So when they turn in their time sheets to be paid, we can check and make sure that they did the correct math and things like that. Managing documentation. It is, I went to the fantastic talk by Juan Torres, and some of you may have gone, where he gives them a book with all the questions that they need to know the answers of when they work at the help desk. Well, our answers are all in our documentation. This is the first page of our wiki. Our wiki is at docs@rice.edu. The link is listed in my giveaways. And basically, the student workers need to eventually have read all of this. We don't make them yet, although after listening to Juan's talk, I think I'm going to do that, make them read through the entire thing. But this generation is very good at looking up things. The wiki has a search tool, and it's pretty, also the navigation is pretty explanatory. So even if they are on the phone with a customer and they face a question that they haven't faced before, they can look in the wiki. They also Google a lot, but there are some questions that Google won't help you because they are RISE-specific, configuration questions, things like that. Where do I find my VPN client? You know, well, they have to look this up. if they don't already know. So they are also the contributors of the documentation. And this part is actually open to the entire world. And the student workers have access to write it. How we manage the shop? Austin, I think, did a good job. People bring in their computers. They drop them off. They fill in this form where basically in the big yellow thing, we tell them, yes, we have the great tools to back up your data, but accidents do happen and we may lose them. You can't hold them responsible. It's not like they're going to make us pay for their pictures, but this is just to manage expectations, to make clear that we're going to do our best effort. And sometimes we get computers that we cannot salvage them. And then we also point them to some more expensive companies that can do the salvaging of data. They fill in the form, they tell us what the problem is, and then this form gets taped on their computer and it stays with the computer until it's done. And then when they come back to pick up the computer, they sign off that they have picked it up. We have this whole process gets recorded into our incident management, so we have good metrics of that. Speaking of the incident management, we have recently moved to, this is a freeware, it's Request Tracker, and we've recently updated to a version that allows us to create dashboards for different groups of users, and this is the dashboard that we use for the student workers. This window here shows them how many, what tickets have to be looked at and maybe escalated or not. And the view of it is really convenient because sometimes the customer, maybe faculty or staff, they send us a request and they do not provide all the information that the field engineer will need to go help them with their computer. So part of the duties of the student workers is to go back and check, make sure we have all the information. So they try to call the customer. If they can't find them, they send them email through the incident management system. And then they watch the queue, and as soon as the customer responds, they can go back and escalate the ticket. This is their view of the repair shop. They see how many, what computers are there to be fixed. And the status field is here on the right. You can see it very well. But when they come in from work on the front shop, they look at this queue and they go, oh, okay, all of these are done. Let me start from the next one in time. It's a first come, first served basis. And this is the queue from all the incidents that they have to face in the kiosks. Sometimes, you know, when the people come there, we don't provide them computers in the kiosks, but everybody has their own laptop, and they can create an incident request there. He also the other tools. Austin talked about the Drobo. This is it's 300 gigs, the one we have. The cool thing about it is that you can put as many different drives. It's not a RAID. You can put any drive that you happen to have. You stick it in, and it does all the RAIDing in by itself. It's a really, really cool tool. And also, my staff tells me that RoboCopy and RStudio, I should be talking to y'all about those because these are the coolest tools for copying data and saving things. And food always, yes, there's food always there. And finally, this is a list of the giveaways that you can find on the Educo site. And since I think we do have a little bit of time, I can go and show you. I'll get rid of this. I'll go and show you the websites. This is the wiki. Inside the wiki, there is an area called the SEC dashboard. And these are things that are of specific interest to the SECs, our student computer consultants, the student workers. And here we tell them, where's the thing? I have to go further down. We have the forms, we have training topics over here, things for them to read, guidelines of what they need to be doing. This is the dashboard that I already showed you. This is another tool that I thought I would talk about because it was a question in another session. How do you give access to the students? We have LDAP at Rice, and this is a middleware tool. It's called Grouper, and lets you create groups in your LDAP on the fly. So that's what we use when we hire a student. We add them into Grouper, into our student group, and then they immediately get access to all the resources that they need to have, such as the wiki, they can read and write, the incident management system, and so on and so forth. And finally, this is the When to Help tool, where, as you can see, you know, you can create, you can have different views. You can do the daily view. You can do view of how many helpers you have, and so on and so forth. I'm going to open it up to questions. So maybe if we want to go and look at that, we can. Yes, sir. It depends on the time of the year. we go anywhere from 3 days to, we've gone to 2 weeks. We're trying to want for 1 week. So mid-semester is usually, 1 week is the most. We are still debating within ourselves whether we can cut down this time by skipping the scanning and disinfection. We have all admitted that at this point we're doing it mostly because the students feel good. They don't want to go and reload the computer until they know they're desperate. Although we could advise them that let's just reload, it's probably better for you. Other questions? Yes, ma'am. Correct. Their own laptops. Yes, anything. We don't do major work like we won't change your screen, but we will change hard drive. So if your hard drive is bad, and memory, we didn't have very many incidents, but depending on the model, if it's easy, we will do it. Some of them, there's nothing we can do. We tell them you have to send it back. Some of the Sony or, you know, we won't even open them. And some of the Macs, too, the models that have too many screws and we feel uncomfortable, we won't open the back. But the majority of them, we actually pluck out the hard drive anyhow because we want to disinfect it. And it's easy for us to give you, the student has to go buy a new part. Or if it's under warranty, when they get the new part from Dell or wherever, we will help them change it. Yes, ma'am. No, we're not. That is correct. Yes, ma'am. Because they're going to do it anyhow, or their friend is going to do it for them. We had, until recently, one of the staff members that was certified. And that's something that if we have some comfort, you know, financial comfort, we might want to do. But the students are, we explain it to them, and they're fine. They're going to do it, they're going to try and do it themselves, and they're much less experienced. So we do it. That's reality. Yes, ma'am? Yes, we do. Yes, we do, and we had mixed results. We're trying to get students from in engineering or computer science, but you know, we try to hire early, so people tell us, "I want to do engineering," but then they do something else. We don't quite know. We have two camps within my staff. Half of us think that they need to be very highly technical and not know, but be bent. They need to be the type that enjoy the hacking and the messing with computers. And then the other half camp thinks that this is good, but it's not very important. People's skills are more important. So I think these two camps help us hire the right person because we have to both agree on a candidate to keep them. And what we have found out is that the test is a very good predictor, and the test is up there, and it's very technical. I scored something like 47 out of 100 in the test. It's really a hard test. But a large number of my students hired way better, hired 70. And the scoring, the ranking really shows us who has this mind and who has. And sometimes we're very lucky. This year we hired students that have been doing IT in their high school or elsewhere. Sometimes we don't. We just get very smart people. I mean, everyone in Rice is smart. The question is, are they going to like this thing? That's why we started this probation agreement. We hire them with $10 an hour, so they have an incentive. And we, at the end of it, we tell them, not you're not good enough, but you are, this is probably not a fun thing for you to do. And we've had a number of people over the years that we had to have this conversation, and we didn't quite fire them. Like people, if people beg, oh, please, please keep me, you know, two more months and I will get better, we will give them this grace period because they're kids and they kind of count on this money. But in general, we try to discourage them and say, no, you really need to be looking at something else. This is not a fun thing for you to be doing. And we keep the people who have fun being out there and doing this type of thing. Yes, sir. It has to do with the area. They're higher, but then it has to do with the area. I know in California, I've heard about for $15. For our campus, the average student, well, the student salary, student hourly rates go, the highest is $10. $8.5 and $9 are more common. But this is really professional work. They really do, you know, they have to deal with faculty, they have to deal with troubleshooting, so we think it's worth the money. And definitely, when they become experienced, they can do the same kind of work that my staff does. And my staff are support specialists 2 and 3, so there really are. It's a good. I think it's a fair pay. Yes, ma'am. No, they don't. They don't. From there on, they're working for the bonus, and I think the most important thing for them, after money is good. But being the most valuable player, I think, is the most important. And we've seen these dynamics inside among them where to be the person that other people ask the question from, that becomes really important to them. To be knowledgeable, they love to take initiative and say, oh, you know what? I had one student last Saturday. That was Halloween. There was a party going on, right? I had two students that came in and arranged the cables under the desk where they sit and call help because it was horrible. And they said, no, we gotta do something about this. I did pay them, but you know, I would never ask them, come on a Saturday morning and do this. But they did it because they feel responsible for, this is a company that we all run together. You know, this is something we all do together. We have to look good. And they also are happy in that they have the visibility in their college as the tech person, and they play a role, or they liaise between IT and the college government. The colleges are totally run by the students. The master of the college is there just to advise. And so if we can have our student workers speak up for IT issues in the student council, that's great for us. It really helps us. Yes, sir. Yes, we did, and that's why we write everything we do in the incident management, so that when this happens, they come to me. They know to bring them. You know, I want to see your supervisor, so they come to me, and I can look through the ticket, and they say exactly what happened, and I have to say, we have never really done any damage. We've lost power supplies, and Gary has been buying them for us. So we've lost maybe, I don't know, 3 power supplies last year, but we have not ever actually do damage. The damage was already done. You know, and they write in the incident management, okay, I unplugged the drive, and it wasn't readable. So I can explain to the student, well, it wasn't us, you know, it was. And sometimes, you know, it happens where the computer was working fine, and as soon as we turn it on, the power supply goes, you know, something goes dead. But we never had any very ugly incidents. The ugliest thing we've had was a couple of times when we lost their data. We didn't back up all their data. And since then, we have made the procedures for backing up excruciatingly detailed. Write the ticket number, write the customer's number, write the date, and we keep them for 2 weeks after they have picked up the computer. But we still misplace someone's data, and I had to give her some goodie. Some of the students typed up a part of her thesis, like two chapters, as a goodwill action for her. Like, okay, we're sorry, but I mean, she lost some other stuff. She lost some stuff she was doing for her church. But we offered to type up a few pages for her to help her out. So that was it. She had signed that we have no... Yes, sir. The 9-to-5 schedule, we used to be open 8-to-6, but we reduced it because we had huge budget cuts. And we also we didn't have a lot of phones, especially from faculty and staff between 8 and 9. We didn't have a lot of traffic between 5 and 6. So we thought, let's save the money and use it for the kiosks after hours for the student help. That's because that's in the colleges, in the kiosks. Because that's when the students ask for help. Everybody's partying on Friday night. Nothing's happening Friday night and Saturday night. So we know, I mean, the student workers themselves tell us what's the best thing to do for the student body. And that's the other great use that we have. We are, and I have learned so much. I am a foreigner. You know, I went to a school that was more like a commuter school, very different. I had no idea of the special atmosphere, and hanging out with the student workers, and then by extension going out in the colleges, I learned so much about things that are really important to them, and I would never have figured out by myself. No more questions? Yes, sir. No, we had a fluctuating, I did not have a budget in the past. I was in the goodwill of our financial department, and I was really following, okay, Gary, don't listen now. I was following a policy of I am going to try and eat up as much money as I can so I have my, so I can be fully staffed. And what was happening is the financial department was able to provide me with leftovers from people who had, you know, somebody retired, somebody left, and there was leftover money, and they diverted it into my student salary fund. But with the change of the economy, I'm now on a fixed budget, and I'm doing quite well. I really want to keep, it's important for me to keep some money for the bonuses after the evaluation thing. So I'm trying to be very frugal on that. We used to also buy a lot more food when the economy was good. Pizza is the thing among students. And now we can no longer buy pizza. This is the experience. This generation will remember the financial crisis when we could no longer have pizza in IT meetings. But we've, you know, it really is, it's true that it makes you, budget cuts make you do smarter things. So now we moved our meeting from the IT building into the colleges. We found a little room that is right next to the servery. So what we do is we meet there, and everybody who wants to eat during lunch, they bring the food in, and we still have our lunch meeting. It's pizza from the servery, but it's pretty good pizza, and, you know, and we don't have to pay for it. Yes, ma'am. They do pay a technology fee, and this covers basically printing. And no, I'm sorry, I take this back. It covers, I think, the infrastructure, like the wireless and all these things. Printing, they get charged. We have a charging system where, you know, it counts the pages, and they get a bill at the end of the semester that it's given to them together with the rest of their bills. And that's cost recovery for printing. Paper and new printers. How much is that? The fee for IT is like $100, I think, but the printer is depending on how much you print it. We do. The help desk supports faculty and staff. We are the tier one support for faculty and staff. We try to do, we're in the process of changing our model where we do as many of our service requests, fulfillments in the help desk and not out there in the field so the other people can be offloaded. The students are doing a large chunk of this. They can do a lot of things like how to set up VPN, how to do, even how to go and change my password. You know, they don't have access to change anyone's password. They can reset it for the students. We have them in special groups where they can give a token to the student to reset their password. And we had some faculty that resents talking to a student, and they prefer to talk to a staff member. So we have, part of our script is like, I am, you know, so-and-so, and if they ask them for their net ID and they look up who the customer is. So if it's a faculty or staff, they're supposed to say, I'm a student worker. Would you like me to try and help you, or should I pass you to a staff member? In reality, a lot of the people, the majority of the people, will just spurt out their problem. Can you help me do this? And they don't care if it's a student, and if they can help them, that's fine. Some people who resent being helped by students, the student actually gets it from the phone. So we go to the script and they pass it to their to the staff members. The way you saw the help desk, we showed the student desk, but around that area are all the cubicles with my staff. So there's always at least one person there listening to what's happening on the phones with the students. So we can immediately, you know, from the face of the student, we can say, give it to me, give the phone to me. Well, you know, Gary has spoken with some of them, and some of them are, you know, they have this attitude even with permanent staff members, so we won't take it personally. It's not the student, really. It's very few people are good enough for them. So they have, they look at our staff, and they want to pick and choose who they want them to, you know, to help and so on and so forth. That's okay. It's, you know, we say that it's a private school and that the students bring in the money, but that's not completely true. The faculty and staff also brings money in grants and research money. So they're, in that sense, they are quite important too. Plus, they have the ear of the provost, much more than the students. Thank you so much for coming on this Friday, and feel free to go. Thank you. Thank you.
This EDUCAUSE 2009 Annual Conference Podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International. Thanks for listening.